is reading week officially, right? That means that you have finals. The finals are next week. Yeah. Finals just now.
Just came from.
You just came from finals. In the middle of finals, going to this year. That's very good. How'd it go? I'll make you forget all of that. All right. So, in terms of the strange topic, the pick for this particular Zman that I announced a shear in dynastic inheritance issues. So what does this have to do with anything? So it's interesting that the Gemara Megillah says that right before Shavuos, there was a takana that was made by Ezra. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar was quoted in a brisa that there was a takana that Ezra made that right before Rosh Hashanah should be read the Kvalos in Parashas Kisavo, and right before Shavuos should be read the Kvalos in Parashas Bekukosai, so that the year will Shetef Shana Kilosas, so that the year and its Kvalos will expire. So Tosfos asked the obvious question: why is it that we don't do this? That actually, although we read the Bekukosai before Shavuos, but it's not the last thing that we read before Shavuos. We read one other parasha before Shavuos. Our practice is that we read the Parashas Bamidbar, which is in fact the Parashas Shavua for this coming Shabbos. So Tosfos explains that this is the time for this. This is Gemara Tosfos Megillah Amud Aleph Beis. Anu Karim Bamidbar Sinai Konam Atzeres. We read the Parasha Bamidbar Sinai. People often say it's Parshas Bamidbar. It's the one Parsha, it's the one Sefer that's mispronounced by everybody. The Sefer Reishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Devarim, which are pronounced properly, but Bamidbar is not Bamidbar. It's Bimidbar, not Bamidbar. So it's Bimidbar Sinai. So Tosfos calls it not Parshas Bamidbar, but he calls it Parshas Bimidbar Sinai. He uses the Sinai so that you have the proper pronunciation, since it's Bimidbar because it's juxtaposed to Sinai. Bimidbar, which means Bamidbar Sinai. If it was Bamidbar, we would know which Midbar. We wouldn't have to say Sinai. Since we say Bimidbar, we have to say which Bimidbar. So it's Bimin Bar Sinai. So we read Bimin Bar Sinai Kodem Atzeres. Kidei Shlo Lahasmich HaKlolos Shavichukosei Latzeres. It shouldn't be right next to Atzeres. You shouldn't go in such a bad, foul mood right before you enter into Shavuos. You should have something a little bit more cheerful. So it's interesting. Yesterday, I was riding in the car with Dina Meredith, Rabbi Chalap, Shlita, and we were going to a board meeting of some sort, and we were discussing this inyan. So he said, he told me over his board that I'll share, that he thought that the Midbar Sinai and Nitzavim actually share something in common. And Nitzavim starts with Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, that the idea is that don't worry, you're still standing. You know, that's the famous medrash that everyone got so scared after hearing all the klalos, they have to be reassured. Don't worry, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. You heard all the klalos, you're still standing. So the Midbar also is very similar to this idea of you're still standing. It's we're going to assemble all the Shvatim, all the Degolim. We're going to have all of the tribes in their proper places. Isha Machaneu, the Isha Al Diglo. We're going to start counting all the different members of B'nai Yisrael. We'll see that we still have everybody, that everybody is still standing, so you shouldn't be so threatened or so overcome by all of the klalos. So you'll go into Shavuos in a better mood that despite all the klalos, this is just to focus your attention, but in reality, we're still standing, so we have what to be happy about. But you know, I was thinking also that there's perhaps other connections. If you look at Parshas Bamidbar, something that we can talk about. We could talk about the notion that on Shavuos we celebrate the Keset Torah. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that there are three Kesarim. That there is Keser. This is a Mishnah Perek Daled based in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Shimon Omer Gimel Kesarim. Rabbi Shimon says that there are three crowns. There's the crown of Torah, Keset Torah. There's the Keser Machlis. It's the crown of Machlis. And there's the Keser Kehuna. There's the crown of Kehuna. No Keser Shem Tov is Ola Gaban. These are essentially the three Kesarim. There's a question as we enter into Shavuos. So we're really celebrating the Keser Torah. We're really celebrating the crown of Torah. So how do we understand this crown of Torah as juxtaposed to these other crowns? There's one very distinguishing feature as we're going to see with respect to these other crowns. The crown of Malchus and the crown of Kehuna, and that is that these are crowns that are they're dynastic crowns, and they actually run an inheritance, meaning that if somebody is a melech, So then the Malchus passes on to the person's sons. If somebody is a Kohen, so a Kahuna passes to sons. A person is the Kohen Gadol, so the crown jewel of Kahuna, being the Kohen Gadol, passes on to a person's sons. We see that very clearly in Parshas Bamidbar, makes reference to it, believe it or not. This is in Begimel, in Paragimel, Bittel Gimel, and Bamidbar, Pasuk Dalet. We're reminded, as we're being told about all the different families within within Shevet Levi, including the family of Aaron, that Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, had two sons, Nadav Avihu, and then he had two more sons, Elazar and Isamar. And the two oldest sons, Nadav Avihu, died. But Yomas Nadav Avihu Lifnei Hashem, when they died in front of Hashem, Bakrivam, Eish Sarah Lifnei Hashem, Mibar Sinai, Uvanim Lo Ayu Lahem. They didn't have any sons. And therefore, the successors to the tradition that they were inheriting, they were the next in line. They were the crown princes. They were the next in line for the succession of the Keser Kahuna. But once they died, so then the crown passed on to their younger brothers. So why does the Torah have to say that they didn't have any sons? So the Medrash in Toras Kohanim, and also the Sforno on the Pasuk point out that in the event that they would have had sons, then their sons would have been their successors. Since this whole thing is a Yerusha, since the Keser Kahuna is essentially a Yerusha, so had the Bechorim, had the eldest sons, had children of their own, then when they died, so their Kahuna, their privilege of being the next in line for being the Kohen Gadol, so that would have passed on to their sons. And it was only because of the fact that they did not have any sons that the Torah tells us, v'yachahein Elazar v'Isamar, that Elazar v'Isamar then became the next in line to have the leadership of the tribe of the subdivision of the tribe of Levi, to have the leadership of Kahuna. And this is only because of the fact that Nadav and Avihu didn't have any sons, and I have that in your sources. I quote the Sifra, the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Vanim lo hayu lahem, shilu hayu lahem banim, but they would have had banim, hayu komim le'elazav isamar, they would have come before Elazav isamar, v'isamar shekola kodem menachala, because whoever, according to the laws of Yerusha, would come first, so the Bechor isn't around, so his son comes first, kodem bechavod, so they would come, they would take precedence with respect to the kavod of the position of the Kahuna Gedola. So this much we know about the Yerusha, insofar as it pertains to the Kahuna Gedola. Truthfully, the main source of this type of Yerusha is in reference not to the Kohen Gadol, but in reference to the Melech. And this is the Parshas of Melech in Sefer Dvarim, which I replicate in Parshas Shoftim. Which I have on the beginning of the sheet here with respect to Keser Malchus. We're told, Som tasim alecha melech, you should place a melech upon you, the people. Asher yichar Hashem elokecha bo mikerav achecha, you should be chosen from amongst the people. And then there are various requirements and specifications of what the melech is supposed to do. The melech is supposed to write a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah should be with the melech, so that the melech will be Yari Shemayim, and will be learned in Torah. And then we're told also, Levilti Rum Levavo Me'echav, that he shouldn't have his heart become haughty from his brethren. Ulevilti Sor Min Mitzvah Yaminu Smol, Leman, and why is it so important that the Melech told the line properly? Leman Yarich Yamim Amam Lachto, so that he will elongate his days on his kingdom. Hu Uvana Bekerav Yisrael, he and his sons Bekerav Yisrael. So on this statement, Hu Uvana Bekerav Yisrael, he and his sons Bekerav Yisrael, the Sifrei teaches us, Leman Yarich Yamim Amam Lachto. This is the second makor here. Mosu mashikasu binyan. The melech acts properly as a melech. Kedayu shiyavich mam yamim mam lachto. Then it is deserving for him to remain as a king. Hu vanav, he and his sons. Shim meis, if the melech dies, b'no omei tachtov. So then his son serves underneath him. Then his son would serve underneath him. So this tells us so far, the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, that their positions, based on Zeros HaKosuv, as derived by the Midrashim, that their positions pass on to their sons as a Yerusha. The Keser Kahuna goes of Yerusha, and the Keser Malchus, in normal circumstances, goes be Yerusha. So before we go any further, this helps to explain as we approach also not only the Kesed Torah celebration in Shavuos, but Shavuos is also a celebration of the Malchus David, who has his yahrzeit at Shavuos. And we, what Megillah do we read on Shavuos? We read Megillas Rus, okay? So Megillas Rus on Shavuos is all about how the dynasty that was promised to Yehuda, Yehuda was told, the bracha lo yaso shevet Yehuda mechokek mishbein maglavat yavosh yilog yilog yikasamim, that the Malchus would go to Yehuda and to all of Yehuda's brethren, to all Yehuda's descendants. So the Megillas Rus describes how from Yehuda the Malchus passed from generation to generation until it came to Salmon and then Boaz and then Obed. And then from Obed came Yishai, and Yishai basically followed the Davidic, followed the line from Yehuda, and he gave birth to David, and that's how David HaMelech became the Melech. On this story, you have to seize upon one detail, which is, why was Peretz, the person who was the son of Yehuda, who carried the Malchus with him? So it's a very interesting essay by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Parshas Vayeshev, in which Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks this question. He says, if you look at the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar, the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar is a little bit difficult to understand, because the Torah spends so much time on the kind of the determination of which son came out first. When Yehuda had Er, then Yehuda had Onan, then Yehuda had Shelah. So he had three sons already. He had three sons who would have been the ones to inherit from him. So his Malchus, or the tradition of kingdom that he was given that would go to his son, should have gone to Er. But we're told that Er was Rabbi Nei Hashem, right? And he wasted his era. So then Onan married Tamar, but he also, who was Er is a widow, right? It was kind of like a Yibum, but then Onan also wasted his era. So then Tamar was still waiting around, and she was waiting around for the next son, for Shelah. And for whatever reason, he was too young, or whatever it was, Yehuda didn't want to give over Shelah to Tamar. So Rav Yaakov suggests that it could be that this was sort of the principle of Yibum in the olden days, before Matan Torah, was that it was primarily the responsibility of the father of the deceased person to really fulfill the mitzvah of Yibum, because the idea was that the son who would be born from the subsequent marriage of the widow with the father, or it could be with the brother, but with a family member, would take the name, would take the place of the deceased brother. This is why Rashi says on the Pasuk when Onan was told to marry Tamar, v'hakim zera l'achicha, so Rashi says on v'hakim zera l'achicha that the idea is that haben yikra al shem ha-meis, that the son will be called on the name of the meis. We know this is not the din nowadays of Yibum. The din of Yibum, we're told that when the Pasuk in Parshas Kitetze tells us v'ayah ha-bechor asher teled yakum al shem achiv ha-meis, it doesn't mean that the child that will be born of the new Yibum union will be called after the name of the deceased. This is the one case of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Gemara in Yevamos Chavdala tells us, where Rava says that Ein HaMikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, that the words are never supposed to be taken out of the literal context in the entire Torah, with this one exception. There's one exception in the entire Torah, where the words are not meant in their literal context. It really just means L'nachala, that the oldest brother, the oldest surviving brother, is the one who's supposed to marry the widow, and then he will take over the Nachala from the deceased brother. But not that the child that will be born will have any special status, that that child will be called after the name of the deceased brother. That's not what it means at all. But it seems, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, called the Matan Torah, this is what it means, and the reason this is what it means is because the main mitzvah of Yibum was not incumbent upon the brother, but it was really incumbent upon the father of the deceased, that the father of the deceased was supposed to see to it that he replaced his deceased son in some fashion with a new child who would be born, and this new child would be born after that son. So this new child would take the place of the father. Ah, so when you think about it, Er was the oldest son. He was the poor of Yehuda. So therefore, he was the designee to the throne. He was the designee to the Keser Malchus that was represented by Yehuda. So through the act of Yibum, whatever son would have been born to Er would have taken over Er's status, would have been in place of Er, and therefore would have been in place of the Bechorah. And that is why Onan didn't want to have Zerah with Tamar when he married Tamar, because he was afraid that this child will take Er's place and he'll no longer be the Bechor after Er dies. So Onan was the Bechor. So Onan was then the Er designate to Malchus. So if he would have had any children, he wouldn't be the Er designate to Malchus anymore. So he didn't want any child to replace Er. And then when subsequently Yehuda himself had relations with Tamar and that child was born, even though there was an older child, because Shelah was still around. Shelah never died. Shelah was still around and had children of his own. Nonetheless, the child who was born to Yehuda, since that child was replacing Er, that child will become the new Bechor. So that's why it was such a big deal when the child came out, for Zerach came out, and they put a little bracelet, a little thread around Zerach to show he came out first, because they were really trying very hard. It was really important to determine who was the Bechor. And then Peretz the Lecha Peretz, and then Peretz, of course, burst through before Zerach. So in the end, Peretz ended up being the Bechor. But this was of significance because he was the one who would inherit the Bechor. And that's why, if you take a look at the order of the descendants of Yehuda, as described in Divrei HaYomim, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, you'll find that the first son and descendants who are described is Peretz, followed by Shelah, followed by Zerach. So why is it Peretz, Shelah, and Zerach? It's completely out of order. Shelah is number 3, Peretz is number 4, and Zerach is number 5. So the reason is because Peretz took over Er's place, so he was in first place. Shelah was still in second place because Er and Onan weren't around. And Zerach, because once he didn't make it as the Bechor, so he was in last place. So that's why he's described third of all of the brothers. And that's why in Megillah Source it tells us that this was the order of succession for the Malchus Beis David, that it went from Yehuda to Peretz, and from Peretz it went down to all the other generations until finally it made it to David HaMelech, because this was the because it was all part of the Yerusha scheme of the Malchus Beis David. Now the question arises, though, this principle that we apply to Keser Malchus and that we apply to Keser Kahuna, does this same principle apply to Keser Torah? What would be the application of Keser Torah? Would be the person who would be, say, the Abezdin, or the person who would be the Rabba Kehillah, the person who would be the Rosh Yeshiva. So do we say that the same way that the Torah specifies that this type of Yerusha passes down with respect to Malchus and Kohen Gadol, so it would apply to other issues as well, to other thralos, to other positions of authority, once we are, after all, juxtaposing all of the three Kesarim. We have Keser, and Keser Torah, after all, is also one of the Kesarim. So if you look at the Sifrei and Devarim, the Sifrei and Devarim seems to indicate that it's a very sweeping rule. If you go back to the second source on page 1, it's the second source on page 1, says, V'ein li ela zebo zeb bovad. This principle is not only applicable to somebody who is a melech. Minayin l'chol panasei Yisrael. How do we know that with respect to all of the leaders of the people, shebineim omdim tachte panasei Yisrael, often includes when we say parnes hamaneg es tzibor benachas or miskal tzibor, often we're talking about Torah leaders. So how do we know the chol panasei Yisrael shebineim omdim tachteim, that their sons take their place? Talmud Lomer, that's why the Torah tells us, Hu uvana b'kerev Yisrael, that it says with respect to the Parshas HaMelech, b'kerev Yisrael. So b'kerev Yisrael implies, kol shehu b'kerev Yisrael, that anyone who is in fact b'kerev Yisrael, b'no omei tachtov, their son would inherit from them, and their son should take over. So therefore you have many of the Meforshim, including the Rivash and others, who took the position that just like a Srava of Malchus and a Srava of Kehuna would pass to the next generation and a son would be the presumed heir, so too the same would apply to rabbinic positions as well, that the son should be, if you have a son, he has to have basic qualifications, and the Melech has to have basic qualifications, so a son, even if there were others who were more qualified, would take precedence over somebody else with respect to the Keser Torah. However, on the other hand, we're also told very explicitly the Torah is not a Yerusha. If you take a look in page 2, page 2 talks about Keser Torah in Mishnah Maseches Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yabes, Rabbi Yossi Omi, Himamon Chavecha Chavi Velech Kishalach. Okay, it's the beginning of a statement. V'haskin Atzko Lomot Torah. You should prepare yourself to learn Torah. Make sure to learn Torah properly. She'in a Yerushalacha. Torah is not a Yerusha. It says very explicitly, Torah is not a Yerusha. So you can argue with this source and say, okay, Torah is not a Yerusha, you have to learn Torah. But maybe a position or sorrow within Torah is a Yerusha. It's not necessarily exclusive of that interpretation. Also, the Maxa Vitri doesn't have the Girsa She'ena Yerusha Locha. He takes out those words, She'ena Yerusha Locha. So therefore, you don't necessarily have a Raya from this mission. I have my own Raya from the Gemara Nedarim. I looked at everyone who discusses this for some reason. They don't discuss the Gemara Maseches Nedarim. But it's a worthwhile Gemara to bring into the discussion. The Gemara says that Hizaru b'nei aniyim, shev b'nei tesei Torah, be careful about poor people because they end up having children who are big tamadei chachamim. So the Gemara goes on to say, b'nei ma, em mitsuyin tamadei chachamim, let's say it's tamadei chachamim b'nei. Why is it that you don't find that tamadei chachamim often come from tamadei chachamim? Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. Why are there many cases in which you have Talmidei Chachamim who themselves have children who are not such big Gedolei Hador? So why is that? So Amar Yosef Shlo Yomotor Yerusha Hilahem. You shouldn't think the Torah is a Yerusha. Torah is not intended as a Yerusha. The Torah is something which is available to everybody. It is for all. It is accessible to anyone. Kol Rotsa Lito Yavo Lito. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amar Beis quotes Rabbi Yochanan is saying there are three Zirim. The zir of keser malchus, the zir is a crown. The zir of, you know, because it has the zir was the different crowned areas of the different clay hamishkan that represented these kesarim. So you had the mizbeach haketoris that represented the keser kahuna. You had these and a zir around it, a little golden border around it. And you had a little gold border around the Aron to represent the Keser of Torah. And you have a little gold border around the Shulchan to represent the Keser Malchus. So he says that there were three Zirim. And the Zir of Malchus was Zoyche, we know Malchus based Oven. And the Zir of Kehuna, Aaron HaKohen and his sons was Zoyche to have. And then he says, but the Zir of Torah, Sakol Rotz Lito Yavo Lito. That's available to everybody. Everybody can be notel it. So it seems from these sources that we do draw a distinction with respect to Keser Torah. On the other hand, the Rambam, when he codifies these halachas, does not specifically exclude Keser Torah. And the way that the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, I have at the end of the sheets, I reproduced the Rambam. The Rambam basically indicates that these sroros are that Yerusha is applicable to all Sroros Shebi Yisrael, and he does not exclude Keser Torah. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perek Aleph of Halacha Zayin. The Rambam says, "Lo Malchus Kovada Kol Sroros Kol Minyan Shebi Yisrael Yerusha Lebno Leben Beno Ad Olam." That it's a Yerusha for one's children Ad Olam. It's a Yerusha forever and ever. So there are different positions about the whether. Whether, in fact, it seems from the Rambam the Keser Torah is also Yerusha, so how would the Rambam understand these other sources? So the way in which those Mefarshim who say Keser Torah is Yerusha, like the Rivash, interpret these sources as they say. These sources don't mean that if you have a Sroah it's not Yerusha, it just means the Torah learning in general is available to everybody. But the Keser of Torah, of having an actual Sroah, is not something that is inherited. However, if you look at the, I would say that the source in the Gemara in Yevamos, and Gemara in Yuma, and Ayin Beis Amud Beis, would seem to support the notion that the Keser Torah should be treated differently, because that source is specifically talking about not Torah being a Yerusha, but Keser for Keser Torah. Specifically not being subject to Yerusha, and in fact the Vilna Gaon quotes that Gemara with respect to this discussion precisely to illustrate this proposition. So he would seem to be suggesting that Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis does stand for the proposition even a Torah position. Would not necessarily go down Yerusha. So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva in Orach Chaim and Siman Yud Beis, in which he brings two rayos that Keser Torah should not be treated as having the same Yerusha. His first raya is from the is from a medrash which I have here on the first page over here that distinguishes between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Mashuach Mechama. We're told Shivas Yom Yobasham a Kohen Tachta Mibonav Asher Yavo Al Moed L'Sharis B'Kodesh, that for 7 days the Kohen who wears the Begadim, namely the Kohen Gadol, has to prepare in wearing his clothes. As he prepares for his task as Kohen Gadol, Sharis Bakodesh, and he's Takhta Mibanav. This is somebody who is a son of the prior Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara in Yuma, on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, the same Daf we were speaking about before, says that we can derive from this pasuk where it says that such a the Takhta Mibanav, who is Takhta Mibanav, which Kohen takes over from his father, which as a son who takes over for his father. This is a Kohen who goes Elo Moed L'Sharis B'Kodesh. This is a Kohen who goes into the Mishkan to do his Avodah. Lafuke, to exclude a Mashuach Mechama. The Kohen who goes out in the wartime and speaks to the people in the battlefield. So this Kohen does not go into the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash, L'Avod B'Kodesh. So therefore, the laws of Yerusha do not apply with respect to the position of Kohen Mashuach Mechama. So Sam Sofer argues, so we see from here as a general proposition, if I have a minoy, if I have an appointment which is dependent upon kedusha, which is dependent upon reaching a certain level of holiness, like in learning Torah and so forth, that it would not generally go the Yerusha. And there's a special Xeris HaKosuv that says that the only exception to this rule is the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol does go be Yerusha. However, from the fact that the Torah is Mema'et, the Kohen Mashuach Mechama, so he says that's not a miut only for the Mashuach Mechama. That's a miut across the board. It means that every single one, every single Minoy Kedusha, which is maybe other Sroros, like being the water, the head of the sanitation department, maybe that would go be Yerusha. Maybe that's what the other Medrash and the Rambam are talking about. But if it's a Minoy Kedusha that's not going Gadol, so then it falls into the category of Mashuach Mechama, and it's available for everybody to be able to compete for and to be able to receive, and that is not something which goes to Yerusha. So there's a long tshuva by the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shavuot. So the Avnei Nezer had a long tshuva in which he discussed these issues, because he was dealing with a case in a certain community where the Rav of the community died. And he left a son, and everybody wanted the son to be the Rav. He was very qualified, he was a nice fellow, everybody, you know, was perfectly happy for him to be the Rav. And he said, I don't want to be the Rav, I want to be a lawyer, I don't know, whatever, I want to just sit and learn. He didn't want to be, he didn't want to serve as the Rav of the Kehillah. And the Rav of the Kehillah had also left a daughter. And the daughter was married to a fellow who was a Rav, who was a big time Chacham, and he wanted to be, and he tied in, I have Yerusha, because since the son didn't take over, I'm marrying the daughter, so I'm the next in line, so therefore I should be the one to take over the Rabbanus. And a lot of people in the Kehillah didn't want him to be the Rav. So the Avnei Nezer wrote a long tshuva about all of the related issues. Is there Yerusha? Is there not Yerusha? If there is Yerusha, would there not be Yerusha through the daughter? Would there be Yerusha even through the daughter, through the one who marries the daughter? He has a whole arichos on all of these inyanim. He starts off talking about, is the Yerusha b'makom machlokis? Is the Yerusha when you have machlokis? This is not so pashut at all, because the Gemara in Horios talks about ein moshkin melech ben melech. And if I have a king who's the son of the previous king, so you don't have to do mishicha, you don't have to use the shemen amishka to waste the shemen amishka to anoint him. He's mashuach v'yomeh. He's anointed because he's the son, so you don't have to anoint him. So says the Gemara, there's an exception to that rule. You have to be Moshe, you have to anoint the Melech, even though he's the son of the previous Melech, Mokom Machlokas. If there's a controversy, that there's a fight between brothers over who should be the Melech, or something like that. So then, in such a case, you have to do Meshicha of this. So the question is, why do I have to do Meshicha in that particular instance? What's the reason I'm doing Meshicha if in fact the person is the rightful heir to the throne? We should just stop the people who are creating the machlokis, let the person who's melech really be melech, and not waste the shemen amishka. So why do you have to do this? It's the machlokis between Rashi and the Rambam as to why Mashiach is necessary under these circumstances. Rashi increases, says that whenever you have machlokis, so the Yerusha disappears. No more Yerusha. Only Yerusha if there's no machlokis. No machlokis, there's no Yerusha. kind of makes it it's a little bit hard to understand. So when is a Yerusha going to be relevant? There's no machlokis, so you don't need the Yerusha. Everyone's going to be happy with him anyway. But that's what the Rashi says. Rashi says that when do you require Meshicha? When is the Yerusha for the Kesem Malchus? There's only Yerusha for Kesem Malchus if there's no machlokis. If there's machlokis, there's no Yerusha. And therefore, you would have to do a new Meshicha when you decide who should be the Melech. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam, in the sources that we have over here, says, what happens if there's Mokom Machlokis? So the Rambam says, for Mokom Machlokis, the reason why you have to have a special Meshicha, this is Rambam Sif Yud Beis, the very end of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Melachim. Vei Moshke Melech Vemelech, it's not normally necessary to do Meshicha on the son of a king when he becomes king. Elim Ken Haisashem Machlokis, only if there's a Machlokis. Oh, Melchama, or war. Moshke Noso, Kidei Lasalika Machlokis. This is saying, why do you do the Meshicha in such a case? You do Meshicha in such a case in order to quell the Machlokis, in order that the people should stop having Machlokis. So according to the Rambam, it seems the Yerusha does not go away. Even if there's a Machlokis, the Yerusha does not go away. And the only reason you go through this whole Meshicha ceremony is so that people will stop making Machlokis. You know, you have a whole coronation event. You have an investiture. If you have an investiture, so nobody's going to be able to complain afterwards. It's kind of sealed and signed and sealed and delivered. This is the headline in the newspaper, so you can't, contest the kingdom anymore, because everybody they had graduation. Everyone got the diplomas. You can't say, oh, you didn't really graduate. Maybe you did. But you, in a coronation, you can't say the king isn't really king once there's already been a coronation ceremony. Lefikach, the Rambam goes on to say, Mashku Shlomo b'nei Melchokas Adonia. We know that when David HaMelech was about to die, so Adonia, one of his other sons was Adonia, was trying to take over the kingdom, and you had the whole entreaty by Bathsheba and Nasan and Novi, the beginning of Sefer Melachim, in which David HaMelech was asked to confirm that the throne should really go to Shlomo HaMelech, and David HaMelech gave the confirmation, and because there was such a machlokis, they had to do a special Meshicha of Shlomo because of the machlokis of Adonia. And that's what the Gemara says. So the Avnei Nezer suggests in the first instance that if there's a Kehillah that doesn't really want somebody, or there's a whole machlokis about it, so even if I would say that the Yerusha Dinim of Malchus, from which we would derive other Sarawas, would apply to Keset Torah as well, maybe it should not apply to this particular case, because Malchus Machlokis, maybe there's no Yerusha altogether. So that's true if you hold like Rashi. But it could be that we don't like Rashi, we hold like the Rambam. We hold like the Rambam, so this still would be Yerusha. You would just maybe make a big ceremony, have a big installation dinner in order to make it very clear that this person was selected as the Rav, but that they would still have the right to be selected as the Rav. And then he goes on to say, even according to Rashi, the Gemara doesn't say that the person who really was supposed to be Melech lost out because there's a Machlokis. That person got appointed in the end anyway, so you're supposed to at least, according to Rashi, presumably fight in the first instance if the person is Roy Lekach for the designated heir to still become Melech, even if the dinim of Yerusha doesn't apply. So therefore, he doesn't think that that would be a killer every single time that there was Machlokis with respect to this particular din. But with respect to this halacha, or this raya from the Kohen Mashuch Melchama, so he thinks that it's not a raya altogether. Because why is it that you have a special Gzeiras HaKasuv with respect to Kohen Gadol and with respect to Mashuch Melchama? So it could be, you can argue, that the reason why you need the special Gzeiras HaKasuv with respect to the Mashuach Melchama is just to show that a Kohen, not that only a Kohen Gadol is the one who gets appointed for which there is a Yerusha, but only Kohen Gadol requires Meshicha. Remember, the most appointments, you don't have to do Meshicha, you don't use the Shem and a Mishcha. But we needed a special Gzeiras HaKasuv to teach us that when a Kohen Gadol is appointed, he requires a Meshicha. And this is the reason why the Torah has to say very specifically that a Kohen Gadol has a din of Yerusha, that his son would be appointed after he dies. But not that this is the only case in which there's a Yerusha for a Minoy Kedusha. It's just that the Torah has to specifically specify this case because of the fact that I'm going to actually use the Shem and HaMishcha to anoint a Kohen Gadol under these circumstances. So that's the argument that the Chasam Sofer, that the Avnei Nezer has against sort of this raya of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer has a second raya. The second raya the Chasam Sofer has is from the Medrash with respect to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash with respect to the Moshe Rabbeinu is quoted by the Chasam Sofer. So just open up over here. This is on page 2. And this is in the middle of the Chasam Sofer. You see that I have three dots over there. So we'll read from the we'll read from the three dots together. One second. There's a third pasuk with respect to Kohen Gadol. It's sort of interesting. The Melech, we have one pasuk really with respect to Melech. With respect to Kohen Gadol, we had two psukim. One about Nadav Aviyu, Vubanim Lohayu Lahem, and the other Shivas Yom Yubasham HaKoyin Takta Mibana. But there's a third pasuk that I have on page 3 that says, V'chiper HaKoyin Hashem Shach Otso V'ashir Yimaleyas Yado L'Kahein Takha Saviv. So that's the third pasuk with respect to Kohen Gadol. I'm mentioning that pasuk because that's the one that specifically has the Lashon that says Asher Yimshach Otso. That would be the Avnei Nezer's argument that this is why I need the special pasuk for Kohen Gadol to show that even though it's Mashiach, for the son has the right to receive the Mashiach because Kohen Gadol, because the office of Kohen Gadol goes to Yerusha. All right. So anyway, turning back to the Chasam Sofer, he says, Ke'es ro'ani raya kona gadola mikulam. I see a raya which is the biggest raya of all of them, and that is that it says in the Medrash in Parshas Pinchas, with respect to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yifkor Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar. He needed to choose a successor. So Shehaya Moshe Sovo Shebanav Yorshim Mikomo Nodim Sarasa. He thought that his sons would inherit him and would take his Sarara. So Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lokomo Sheata Sovar, not like you think, your sons are not going to get your Sarara, not going to get your leadership. Habei Sheyoscha Yehoshua, Yehoshua is the one who served you. Habei Chalach Lecha Kavod, and Uparis Es Machatzolos, and he put out the mats and moved around the benches. Nosetena Yachopiria, so the person who planted the fruit, he should be able to eat the fruit. So therefore, Yehoshua is the one who's going to succeed you. So the Chasam Sofer argues, Moshe Rabbeinu would not have had the audacity to ask for his sons to replace him if they weren't worthy Lekach, if they weren't Roy Lekach. Obviously, they were Roy Lekach, and if there was a Yerusha, then the Yerusha of his position, which the Chasam Sofer is assuming was a position of Torah, even though we know Moshe Rabbeinu kind of had a din of a melech, so he's kind of saying, oh, but Moshe Rabbeinu was all about teaching Torah. So this position of teaching Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to him that even though your sons may be Ruyim, nonetheless, they're not the ones I have in mind, and therefore you're not going to, and therefore it doesn't go be Yerusha. Then Moshe Rabbeinu thought it went to be Yerusha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basically telling him that it doesn't go be Yerusha. So the Avnei Nezer says that there are a couple of responses that you can have to that raya as well. Number one, you can argue, who says that his children were Mamali Mekom? Who says that his children were Ruyim Lekach? Maybe his children were not Ruyim. If they're not Ruyim, so then they don't get to take over the position if they're not Ruyim. And secondly, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was a special case because it says Xeris Akasuv of Al Tikrab Halom, that you, while maybe this isn't going to be true of other Torah leaders throughout the generations, but your particular position of Torah leadership is so unique that Al Tikrab Halom, you can't go beyond yourself. You can't go into your descendants. You can't pass this over to your Yorshim. This is one position that's not going to pass to Yorshim. And maybe this was a special exclusion that only applied to Moshe Rabbeinu and didn't apply to anybody else. So therefore they argue that it's not necessarily the case. In fact, there are even Midrashim that say explicitly that the Moshe's children were not Ruyim Lekach. The Moshe felt bad. There's a Medrash that says Moshe felt very bad that his children were not Ruyim Lekach, were not Mimali Mekomam. So therefore, it's not a raya necessarily from the fact that his sons were not appointed. But who says that, let's say it would be a Yerusha, who says that it really matters that they be Ruyim Lekach, that they be Mimali Mekomam? So here, it's interesting, the only explicit source that we seem to have that it's from Xeris HaKasuv, that once we say that the particular Keser, whether it's Keser Malchus, whether it's Keser Kahuna, has to be, only passes by Yerusha, if the children have some degree of worthiness, is with respect to the Kohen Gadol. And this is on page 3 I have in the Sifra, in Achrei Mos, when the Pasuk by Kohen Gadol says, V'chiper HaKohen Hashem Shach Osov Asher Yimalei Es Yado L'Chein Tachas Aviv. So it says that the Kohen, who is Yimaleas Yado, gets to be Kohen Gadol in place of his father. So the Sifra Nachmimo says, This teaches us that the son comes before everybody else. I might think this is even if he's not Mimali Mekomo, even if he's not as good as his father. That's why it says he has to be as worthy of his as his father. He has to be, or at least he has to be worthy. He has to be Yamali as Yado. He has to find his hands in his place, his hands. When he's able to take his father's position, he comes before everybody else. And if not, then somebody else should come, and somebody else should take precedence over him. So the Gemara's all assume that this notion of Mimali Makom applies to Malchus as well. The Gemara in Horio says that whenever there's sort of a departure of the normal procedure, so you require Meshicha to be performed. You require Meshicha, for example, in the case of Shlomo and Adonia, you required a Meshicha in such a case because there was a Machlokis. The Gemara also says you require a Meshicha with respect to Yehoachas and Yehoyakim. That Yehoachas was appointed as the Melech, but Yehoyakim was actually senior to him. And the Rambam writes that part of the inheritance laws, the Malchus, is that the senior son gets before the junior son, right? That's why in the royalty in England, the royal family, so the one who's the designated heir to the throne is the one who's the oldest son, right? Prince Charles. There are other princes, right? There's a Prince William or others, I don't know. So he's the first in line for the throne because he's the oldest brother. So the Rambam says the one who's the oldest gets to go first. So Yehoachas was not the oldest. So ask the Gemara, so since when do we Mimachi Zutri Makme Kishishi? So how could you put the younger son before the older son? It says explicitly in Nevi'im, it says in Divrei HaYomim, as Hamam Lochanasim the Yehoram, Ki Hu HaBechor, Yehoram got Malchus from his father because he was the Bechor. So it says the Gemara, Yehoram, at least at that time, Mimali Makom Avosav Haba, was the Mimali Makom of his father's. Yehoyakim la Mimali Makom Avosav Haba. Yehoyakim wasn't Mimali Makom. He wasn't considered, at least as compared to Yehoachas, he wasn't considered to be Mimali Makom, and Yehoachas was the Mimali Makom, so therefore Yehoachas was the one who was given the kingdom. He was given the, despite the fact that he was going before his older brother. So what does this tell us? It tells us normally the principle would be that you would give the kingdom, the Malchus, to the older brother, but in the event that the older brother is not considered to be Mali Malkum, so then it would go to the younger brother. It's interesting, the Minchas Chinuch asks the question. Minchas Chinuch says, does a father who's a king have the right to give over the kingdom to whatever son he wants? Let's say he has five sons. And he doesn't want it to go to the oldest son. He wants to go to the youngest son. He wants it to go to the third son. So does he have the right to give it to whichever one of the sons he wants to give it to? So he wants to bring a raya from the case of David HaMelech. He says the case of David HaMelech with Shlomo. So Shlomo was actually younger than a number of other brothers. You'll say Adoniah was not a Mimali Makom. So it's not a kasha with respect to Adoniah. But he had an older brother called Kalev. Kalev had a very special status. Kalev was one of the people who never sinned, according to the Gemara. So Kalev was a tzaddik gomer. So an older brother by the name of Kalev who was a tzaddik gomer. So how could you say Kalev wasn't worthy? Certainly Kalev was worthy. So why? So it must be said that the father has a right to be able to designate a particular son. And he says this is like Dina Yerusha. Just like in Dina Yerusha, he says, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Boko, who says that a father is allowed to pick from among his sons in terms of allocating the Yerusha to give more to one son and less to another son. So too, in this case as well, a father would have that right. So Kasha, that some ask on the Minchas Chinuch is, what do you mean? We pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Boko. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Boko only when the father is a Shchim Meira. He has to be a Shchim Meira. He's on his deathbed. When he's on his deathbed, so then he has the ability to distinguish between his sons. But it doesn't apply to somebody who's not on his deathbed. So it could be that the Minchas Chinuch, since he was bringing a raya from Shlomo HaMelech, so maybe the raya, maybe he was thinking that, you know, David HaMelech, in fact, was on his deathbed. When David HaMelech made the designation, or at least confirmed his designation of Shlomo HaMelech, he was talking to Baba Yomim, and according to the Radak, he was already confined, he was already in bed. So maybe in such a case, he had a din of Shchem Meira. So maybe the kash against the Minchas Chinuch, at least in that context, is not necessarily such a compelling context. But in any event, the Minchas Chinuch says that you can't bring a raya from Shlomo, from the fact that David chose Shlomo HaMelech over Kalev, because that was Alpi Dibor. was Alpi Dibur, it was Alpi the Navi. You had the Navi, you said Shlomo HaMelech is supposed to be king. So that's not necessarily a raya. But they bring other rayas that a father from Rechavam, who chose one of his younger sons, that they bring other rayas that it could be that a father would have the right, at least in the context of the Malchus of the Yerusha Malchus, would have the right to pick a particular son. But it could be that whenever you have a case where the father picked a particular son, it fell into one of these categories. So it's not necessarily you can bring a proof. It could be, since we have a requirement that the son be a Memali Makom, so maybe that means that a father can figure out which one is the biggest Memali Makom. But what does it mean to be a Memali Makom? That's the question. So we have the pasuk with respect to Kohen Gadol that says Va'ashir Yimalei Es Va'ashir Yimalei Es Yado. So what does it mean in as a general matter with respect to what qualifications a son would need to have? So the Rambam writes in Halacha Zayin. That basically it goes like this: Behushiyah ben mamali makom abosa bechokmo v'yira. He has to be mamali makom in wisdom and in yira shemayim. Hayim mamali b'yira afa bishen mamali bechokmo. What if he has only one of the qualities? Which is the more important quality? So it says the Rambam, the most important quality is yira. The most important quality is yira shemayim. Ma'midin osa makom avi malam din osa. So as long as he has the yira shemayim, bechol mi she'emo yira shemayim, if he doesn't have yira shemayim, afa bishachmasa meruba. Even though he has tremendous chokmah, so then he does not have the ability to be appointed if he doesn't have the basic qualification of Yira Shemayim. And this we see explicitly, kind of this qualification of Yira Shemayim from the Gemara in Ksuvos. The Gemara in Ksuvos in Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, bottom of page 3. So Rebbe, when he was dying, he said, Shimon b'ni chokham. He said, my son Shimon is a chokham. But Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. He's going to be the one who takes over my position as the head of the academy. So my Kamer, so Hachi Kamer. So says the Gemara, this is what he said. Even though Shimon is a Chacham, Gamliel is going to be the Nasi. So Amalev, Shichel Meimer, why do you have to say that? So Shimon Amalev, Barebi, yes, we do have to say this. So what's the Kasha? So the Kasha is that the Mamlacha, it says in Divya Yom, Mamlacha Nasin Yehoram Kiwa Bechor. Mamlacha, the Malchus goes to the Bechor. So Gamliel was the Bechor. So why did Rebbe have to say, oh, even though Shimon is a Chacham, Gamliel is going to be the Bechor? So says the Gemara, the reason is because Ho Mimali Makom Avosav Haba. Yehoram was a complete Mimali Makom, and Chacham and Yira. Gamliel ain't a Mimali Makom Avosav Haba. He wasn't a complete Mimali Makom in both Yira and Chacham. However, says the Gemara, Rebbe my time of it, if that's the case, so why then, if he wasn't Mimali Makom, so then the Keser is not supposed to pass to the son who's not Mimali Makom. So the Gemara asks, so why then didn't he in fact give his Sarara to Gamliel, to Rabban Gamliel? So says the Gemara, even though he wasn't Mimali Makom Avosa Bechokma, as far as wisdom is concerned, he was Mimali Makom Avosa with respect to Yira Skate, with respect to his Yira Shemayim. So since with respect to his Yira Shemayim, it's Mali Makom, so Gemara Beis Rebbe was basically saying, this is the most important qualification, therefore he should not be disqualified just because his younger brother happens to be more of a Chacham. If the younger brother would have been more of a Yira Shemayim, so then that would have been a reason to change things around. In fact, that's what the Gemara in Menachos tells us. Gemara Menachos on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis says that when Shimon HaTzadik died, Shimon HaTzadik appointed his son Chonav to be the successor Kohen Gadol, and Shimi, his son, was older than Chonav, and Shimi said it's not fair that I wasn't appointed, and Shimi got very angry and he got into this whole battle with Chonav, and Shimi ended up embarrassing Chonav and he ended up running away and he ended up forming a house of Avodah Zarah, a whole very unsalutary story. So Tosfos asked the Kasha. Tosfos says, so why in fact did Shimon HaTzadik appoint the younger brother over the older brother? They didn't Yerusha for Kohen Gadol should go to the older brother and not the younger brother. So why did he give it to Chonav? So Tosfos says explicitly, and not only that, but he says that Chonav wasn't a Mamali Makam Bechokma. How do we know the Kohanim wasn't a Mamali Makam Bechokma? Because after Kohanim was appointed, Shimi said, now that you're Kohen Gadol, I'm going to teach you how to do the Avodah. So clearly Shimi knew how to do the Avodah, and Kohanim didn't know how to do the Avodah, because Kohanim went along to teach, to learn from Shimi how to do the Avodah. When it says, then Shimi made a big fool of it, out of him in front of everybody. But leaving that aside, obviously Shimi was more of a Chacham, he knew more than Chonav. It says to Tosfos, that the reason why Chonav came first, even though he was the younger son, was because he had the edge over his brother with respect to Yiras Shemayim. So we see the Yiras Shemayim is not only enough of an edge for somebody who's a Bechor to beat out the younger brother who's the Chacham, as in Rebbe's case, but it's even enough of an edge for the one who's not the Bechor to beat out his older brother. So we see that the main qualification is Yiras Shemayim. Chachmah, you just need a little bit of Chachmah, the Rambam indicates. But the Yiras Shemayim is absolutely an essential, quintessential requirement, and it's by far the most important requirement. So I was thinking that maybe, since we're learning, where's the makkah for all of this? So the makkah for all of this is notion of mali makkum. So that's a special gzeiras hakasuv by Kohen Gadol and Parshas Tetzaveh. But maybe the makkah for all of this really is even in the psukim with respect to the minoy hamelech, because the psukim with respect to the minoy hamelech are all talking about the continuation of the legacy of the melech in connection with the melech having to write a sefer Torah and preserving the mitzvos of the sefer Torah. Levolti rum levavav milevavav meyachav, so we not become too haughty. Levolti saw min mitzvah, so we not turn away from the mitzvah. So we know that the source in which follows the lashon of the man yarich yamim amapam amamlachta hu vanav, in which we say that this is also that his kingdom will endure for all generations, is in the context of the Sefer Torah that he's being commanded to write, and everything that he's supposed to derive from the Sefer Torah. So if you look in the previous Pasuk Yates, it says, that it's supposed to be with him, and he's supposed to read from the Sefer Torah, Koyim Mei Chayav. For what purpose? Leman Yilmad Liyiras Hashem Alokav Lishmos Kol Divrei HaTorah Azos Esabetzel Kim Ayil Asusam. Leman Yilmad Liyirah. So it says very explicitly, this is Leman, what is the purpose of this exercise? What are the qualifications that he needs to have? He has to have the qualifications of Leman Yilmad Liyirah. He has to learn, and what, and the Talmud maybe the Deyirah, as the Gemara says, and he has to learn for the purpose of Yiras Shemayim. So we see from here, he has to learn, he has to have the Chokhmah, he has to have the Yiras, and we see that the main prerequisite is the Yiras Shemayim. So that's our suggestion. I've seen hints. I'm not totally making it up out of the blue. I've seen hints of this suggestion. I didn't see anyone who said this outright, but that seems to be a possible marker. I saw hints of that suggestion, that this provides for a marker for this basic idea of how you need the basic qualification of Mali Makam. So one could argue, getting back to our point, one can argue that the Gemara in Suvas provides a raya for the Shita of the Rivash, and those who say the Keset Torah also goes to Yerusha, because the case of Rebbe was the Nisias of Torah. He wasn't a Kohen. He wasn't a Melech per se. So the counter argument would have to be that maybe no, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was. This is not any physician, any shteller, you know, that this for a big Rosh Yeshiva of a particular yeshiva. He was a Nasi Shibi Yisrael. It's very possible that there was that this separate treatment that would be attributable to the one who's Nasi Yisrael. Maybe the Sarah of Nasi Yisrael is viewed as more of a Sarah because of the special, because of the fact that they made a gedder. The Magen Avraham makes reference to this. I have on the top of page 3, from Hillel HaNasi Ve'eloch, okay, there was a gedder at some point, they made a minug that even though the Magen Avraham quotes those who say that Keset Torah does not go Yerusha, since there was such abuse of the Malchus by Malchus Hordus and the like, so they made a special gedder that those who kind of took over the Nisias, even if they were serving in a Torah capacity, those who took over the Nisias of Klal Yisrael should have the ability to cause their Keset Torah to go to their children. But this was a special gedder in order to counteract the Malchus Hordus, and it's not the one that even the Magen Avraham suggests is generally applicable when dealing with the Yonim of Keser Torah. Lemaise, in terms of terms of halacha lemaisa, the Ramah paskins in the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch Yoredei Asimin Reish Mem Hey, b'makom sheyesh minog lekabel I'm sorry. It says afilu b'no ben b'no. He says anybody who's hooksuk rabbi here, anybody who's considered a rab, who is established as a rab in a city. Should stay there, whatever. He says his children and grandchildren do take precedence over others, as long as they have the basic yira shemayim and they have a little bit of chokmah, as we said before. Yeah, a little bit of chokmah, but the basic qualification is yira shemayim. So he applies this even with respect to somebody who's going to be a rav shebiyir. But then he goes on to say, if you have a minug that a rab is only appointed for a short period of time, or the minig is to choose whoever you want, so it's just be other. So it's kind of like it goes both ways. It's if you have a very strong minug that it's not this way, that a rab is only serves for 10 years at a time, or can be fired by the board of directors, so then this principle does not necessarily apply. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests in his review of the halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that there may be our own practice nowadays is that the general expectation of the tzibur is that even if the bein is memali makom, even if he is memali makom of it, he does not automatically have a right to the rabbinic positions of his father for the following reason that he says that nowadays we work with the following presumption. That when the original hiring of the father came along, the hiring was based on the principle that this is who the tzibur wanted, but they didn't hire the son. But he does add, Barak Mela, to Mimali Makomon B'Torah V'Yira. So just Mimali says that if the son is Mimali Makom in terms of Torah and Yira, he has both Torah and Yira Shemayim, Lama Yigora. He says that I shouldn't be any worse than anybody else. He shouldn't have a position that somebody should be deprived from being a Rosh Hashiva just because his father is a Rosh Hashiva, deprived from being the Rav just because his father is the Rav. But in terms of what the expectations are, he says that it wouldn't be applicable in such a case. Even the Avnei Nezer, who kind of defended the practice against the Qassam Sofer, of there being this notion of Keset Torah, has a footnote in the Tshuva from his son. Who is the son of the Avnei Nezer, anybody? Shem Yishmuel. So Shem Yishmuel has a footnote in which he says that he spoke to his father at a later point in time. This is bizarre, by the way. I mean, somewhat bizarre. He spoke to his father at a later point in time, and he was quoting all these Gemaras and Midrashim about Yerusha and Moshe Rabbeinu and this and that. And so he says that after, you know, all these riots back and forth about Meshuach Mechom and Kohen Gadol and Melech and Sroah and so forth and the Rambam, as he said that his father finally said to him, you know, this really is dependent upon a halacha and hilchos treifos in Maseches Chulin. At the Gemara in Maseches Chulin and Daf Ayin Vav says that if I have the tzomes agidin of an animal that's severed, that's the junction of tendons of an animal that gets severed, so the animal only becomes there's one a big tendon, there's an alima, and there are two katini, and there are two small tendons. So you would need, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, you would need both Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan in order for the animal to be treifa. You would need for, you know, if you had Rov Minyan, the two small tendons were cut off, but the one big tendon was still there, so I still had Rov Binyan, the animal's still okay. Or if the big tendon was cut off and I had the two small tendons, so even though I don't have Rov Binyan, I still have Rov Minyan, so the animal's still okay. So he said, so obviously the same thing should apply over here. Even if in a case where there's a machlokis, we would assume that the son would still have precedence over everybody else, and like the Rambam, even Rashi would have a preference in that direction. But if you have Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan, if the Rov Minyan and the Rov Binyan of the tzibah don't want the son, so then obviously you need to have either Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan, otherwise it's a treifa. So if you don't have at least Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan, if you don't have at least either the majority of the population or the Rov Binyan, he doesn't translate Rov Binyan. Rov Binyan can mean anything. Rov Binyan can mean the Chashuvei HaKahal. Probably means the Chashuvei. In different contexts, Rov Binyan means those people are the biggest Chacham. Sometimes it means those people who are the Chashuvei HaKahal. Sometimes Rov Binyan means those people who are the wealthiest of the Kahal. So he doesn't specify what he means. So he says, okay, so if you need at least They're all binyan, the big machers. It probably means the big machers. You need either the big machers or you need the majority of the population. But if neither wants a particular person, so then for sure you can't impose somebody upon the tzibah. So he says he doesn't really have an explanation as to why this Gemara and Chulin should be dispositive on this entire discussion, but he just kind of throws it in as a footnote that his father felt that this was, it goes to, in general, I think the principle that we bring down the halacha about a shliach tzibur, that a shliach tzibur is supposed to be merutza l'kahal. So if he's not merutza at all, nobody wants him, so then he thinks that in such a case, you don't get the first base. In such a case, he thinks that we wouldn't apply any of these principles. I had a possible chiddush. I'll end with this. That this gives this whole discussion and analysis gives us a possible insight, an explanation into the whole machlokas that's described later on in Sefer Bamidbar. In Perek Dalet of Parshas Bamidbar, we're told that a certain person was appointed to be the Nasi for the Beis Av of Mishpachas Kehasi, Elitzafan Menuziel. You see Beis Av of Mishpachas Kehasi, Elitzafan Menuziel. But the Mishpachas, but Elitzafan Ben Uziel was the son of Uziel. He was the son of Uziel. Uziel was the youngest of the four sons of Kehas. Kehas had Amram, he had Yitzhar, he had Chevron, and he had Uziel. Uziel was the youngest of all of them. So we're told in Parshas Korach that there was a whole machlokis between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi at the beginning tells us a little bit of the background of the machlokis. Why was Korach so upset with Moshe Rabbeinu? He says Korach was upset at Moshe Rabbeinu because he felt, okay, so the machlokis, so Moshe Rabbeinu, we understand, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was picked by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and his son Aaron was picked as the Kohen Gadol. He's not a Kohen, he has no tainus with respect to he wasn't going to have tainus with respect to that, but he expected at the very least he was going to be appointed as the Nasi for the Mishpachas HaKehasi, because after all he was the son, they were sons of Amram, and he was the son of the next born son Yitzhar. He was the son of Yitzhar. But instead, who did they go along and appoint? They appointed Elitzafan ben Uziel, who was the son of the youngest son. So maybe his argument was, look, this is a Sror. All Sroros are supposed to follow the laws of Yerusha. According to the laws of Yerusha, it should have gone to the second son. So why is it? Should have gone to me? So why is it going to the son of Uziel? And based on all of this, Rashi says he started his home machlokas. So what was his argument? His argument was kolei da kulam kedoshim. Everybody was equally holy. So it could be that the Moshe Rabbeinu, in refuting the argument of Korach, was pointing out that Korach was missing out on one important detail, which is that with respect, either one detail or another, he's saying that even if I say that these Sroros go, every Sroros goes for Yerusha, nonetheless, this was a, you have to be Memali Makom. Korach certainly did not prove himself to be a Memali Makom, one can argue in the way that he behaved. And since there is this principle of Mali Makom, so therefore, even if there would be a right according to Dinei Yerusha, it wouldn't be applicable in this particular case because it's not automatically Kulam Kedoshim. You have to work at it. You have to Lo Kolavotzel Yito Yavo Vitol. Everybody has to work at achieving the proper Madrega of Yiras Shemayim and Chochma in order to be able to be worthy even of these positions in the context of Yerusha. Or it could be that it's a Raya of the Ksam Sofer saying that this was a Minoy of Kedusha. It's a minoy to supervise the family and be in charge of the various kalim of the Mishkan and so forth, was surely a minoy of Kedusha. And for a minoy of Kedusha, maybe there are no Dinei Yerusha. And who says that there's an automatic right to Yerusha when it comes to minoy Kedusha? When it comes to minoy Kedusha, when it comes to Keset Torah, the basic proposition that we follow is that it's not a Yerusha Ilehem, it's a Morasha. It's a legacy, not a Yerusha per se. It's one which is available to everybody. And kol ha-rotzeh lavo l'yito, l'yito yavo v'yito. Everybody has equal opportunities, equal ability to advance in Torah as we approach this Chag HaShavuot, Ba'aleinu L'tova. We should all take advantage to maximize our own entree to the Keset Torah, to be crowned ourselves with the greatest possible Madrega in terms of our own achievement of a Keset Torah, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, and Vayta. Let me just confirm this. Is this for you? I haven't heard anyone.